Welcome to Mid-Century Modernism with Monique, your go-to podcast for all things architecture, design, and innovation within mid-century modernism. Join me on a journey through the golden age of design, where every episode brings you fresh inspiration for modern living and unlocks the secrets of this iconic and timeless style. What are we waiting for? Let's get started. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Mid-Century Modernism with Monique. I'm Monique Anton, your host, and I'm so happy to have my friend Greg Kelly on the show today. Hello, Greg.
Hey. Good evening. I guess it's evening here.
It's evening there. Yeah. So Greg is the founder and president of ModBox USA, and I know you all have seen these. They're everywhere, and I've been talking with Greg for the last 9 years, I think it's been, Greg. We've been communicating over your amazing product. I think it's been that long. And you have been, since then, you've been featured in Dwell. You've been featured in Atomic Ranch, Palm Springs Style, Adore Home Magazine, and others. So I want to tell you congratulations so much on your success with this product. So well, first and foremost.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to start with, on your website, you have amazing videos showing how you started, and you grew up in the 60s and you were frustrated with the lack of product that was out there. So maybe you can share with us how this all came about.
Yeah, I think as children, we get sort of imprinted along the way in different ways. And I wasn't big into mid-century until around 2012. We actually downsized from a larger home into a small ranch, a 1950s ranch that we then renovated. And so we took a very mid-century vibe with that because of what the neighborhood felt like and was, where all of the ranches just flowed with the hills and, you know, the terrain instead of everything being leveled and, you know, mature oaks. And when we moved, our sons were younger. My son's like, why would anybody buy a house without a tree? Because they had these beautiful oaks in the prior house we had, you know.
Yeah.
It was
so bare, right? So nothing there. Yeah.
And so that's when we had this opportunity to actualize it. Because my first house back when I was younger was actually in 1920s that I completely restored. And so it's kind of that respect for a genre. But to your point, where I got it was my parents, believe it or not, were not the wealthiest people in the world. My father was enlisted in the Air Force. And there was a point in the 60s when they bought some furniture that was very mid-century. My sister still has the coffee tables. Wish I had the couch. Truly wish I had the couch. Mm-hmm. And it was just had such a cool look and vibe about it.
Sure.
And so while I may have started out with a 20s home in that kind of genre when I was younger, this transitioned to downsizing into a little 1,400 square foot ranch, which was picked up by the New York Times, and they called it the Big Shrink because of our downsizing.
Yeah.
So you kind of see pictures of the house there. That's when we kicked in on the mid-century piece. And that just spoke to us. Then my wife was very into modernism, you know, in mid-century too. And so the whole house is embodied, you know, embellished with, you know, all of those items. Everything's built in. I find it very relaxing.
Yes. Like
when you're back from a vacation, you go, light or windows.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable. Not to say I can't go to an Airbnb that's eclectic and got a porch and that groovy vibe is a whole different thing. It's just, you know, whichever. Right. But I think it was my parents having done that. My dad had bought like a little Audi 100 LS, which was kind of small back then, like way back. And so I think that kind of, and I appreciated that and I liked it. I felt good with it. And so we totally ran with it on this house. And that was literally what became the genesis for the ModBox frustration with finding a mailbox. Yeah. You know, the postal engineer actually designed the Drolman mailbox, the tunnel shape, which is a great product. But in the 50s and 60s, this mailbox existed and I didn't know it. And so I was trying to piece something together that would look cool with our house and make sense. And it still didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
And then literally it was actually Atomic Ranch. We may speak to this a little bit later too, but I was flipping through the pages and somebody had this beautiful picture of the mailbox, like we redesigned into. And Atomic Ranch was like, they don't exist anymore. You can't buy them.
Right.
And I was doing business valuations at the time with my own shingle. And I was like, bored with that. I wanted to create again, you know?
Right.
And man, I sat up in bed and I'm like, this is it. And then, so you just started researching to go, how far, where is this product? Where did it exist? When did it exist? Who made it? How'd they do it? Just devoted, you know, all my energy to it.
Right. You were like obsessed with it. You caught the bug and it was that entrepreneurial.
Yeah. I'd started a coffee house back when I was younger. Back before coffee was.
That's so cool. Yeah.
And so it's that energy is always there, you know, and so you lose it for a while and you may put it in check, but then you want to bring it to the forefront again to create.
Yes. And,
so literally I was buying bound copies of the Sears catalog or anything with reference to it, looking at ads.
Yeah.
And then when I opened the 75th anniversary of the Sears catalog and there was the mailbox,
angled
post. I was just so ecstatic, you know,
because like, the light that shone down. And it,
and it's a piece of metal sitting out at the side of the road. So it's very hard to get a vintage one, you know, or something that still exists. And so eBay was like months just trying to find one until I could find one that I then purchased. Then we kind of reverse engineered it, did our own design around it and the kind of variations of it. Because there were a lot of people making it back then with little different style variations, the Sears being a big one, which is kind of trippy now, right? Yes. My Sears, but they were so vogue back then. It was, those catalogs were a blast. And, and I'm dominating the conversation. I'm sorry, but.
No, it's perfect. Well, this is what I wanted. I wanted you to talk about this. And these old catalogs, it's funny because how wonderful that the past sort of called you into the future.
Yeah.
And I love that. I understand that as an entrepreneur, some people ask me, you know, I really want to start a company. And I'm like, if you have to ask someone, like, how do I, you know, should I do this? Or it's on my mind, I'm thinking about it. You're not ready. You clearly were obsessed enough where you have to do it. That's right. The energy that you need to start a company like that. You just have to do it.
Have to do it. And I mean, we spoke a little before we started about when I started this process that you found me on the Kickstarter, which is where I went for funding.
That's right.
And sent me an email.
Yeah.
That was very encouraging.
9 years ago. Yes.
9 years ago. And I kept those emails.
Wow.
And you said, I was just getting ready to send another brief email. That was me. You were very gracious in saying, talking about my progress. You know, I had like a certain number of Kickstarters. I was coming up a little bit short. You were like, let's make this happen. What can I do to help, if anything? I mean, I'm like, this person I've never met. I was like, who is this other obsessed person? You know, thing.
Because
I think our own mission. Yes.
This mid-century modern. Yeah.
And there was a point where I was talking, I was a little bit discouraged because things hadn't tried to get all the, you think about mid-century modern people, they're not necessarily at Kickstarters. It's kind of technology folks and stuff. So I'm taking an audience that doesn't usually go there and say, hey, come to Kickstarter and you're going to throw $200 my way and you may or may not get this product.
Right.
You've got to be pretty committed to, I want that mailbox. I want to see this guy succeed.
Yes.
And we were very fortunate that Hal's, you're trying to get ready to blog. You got the word out for me, which was awesome. The Eichler community got the word out, which is awesome because we're at a lot of Eichlers. People send me pictures. It's very exciting. Yeah. And
I love that. And it was through all of us. It's sort of this, you know, wonderful community and almost like a family. You know, we help each other. And through my work too, I was amazed at the community and how strong we are. And people think it's small. It's not that small anymore. So
I'm going to say one more kind of corny thing.
Yeah, go.
You had left me a voicemail message on May 14th. And I said, I wrote to you, I said, on those days when I received no pledges, I'm going to cry. or even felt lucky to get one. Even after emailing bloggers and posting on Facebook pages for countless days, I would listen to your message, letting me know, yes, do this for the MCM community.
Wow.
You wrote that.
What? You're going to make me cry right now, Greg.
I
remember seeing your product and seeing your passion around it. And I have been there on those days when it's really hard to get something up off the ground. Yeah. It really is. And when you have nothing but your passion doing that for you, you're amazed that when you have pure intention and you put something out there, you will get it back. It might take a while, but you will get it back.
I mean, the reward is to go, like, you know, if I went and visited my son in California or here or there, you're walking or doing something and you see a mailbox that you brought back to life, if you will.
It's amazing what you've done. And I walk down my neighborhood. I live in a little mid-century modern neighborhood in Portola Valley. I see them everywhere. There's maybe five in a row. Yeah. And I'm like, Greg, look at what you did. So I just have to tell you, it's really inspiring. And for those listeners listening right now who have an idea or you're passionate about this and you think the community is too small, look to Greg and look at what he's done.
Yeah.
And going back to the product, so you have done, I mean, it started with, you know, curbside boxes, then it went to wall plaques.
Yeah.
Now you're doing this thing I looked up, record holders, vinyl.
It was just an offer. That was maybe a little crazy, but
I think it's great.
We're pretty excited. It's just because we ended up having to powder coat for ourselves, and that's a whole story. But, and so it's kind of like you've got, you know, an industrial oven, a powder coating booth, which you never thought you would do, right? What do you do? It's kind of hard to describe sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Mailboxes. But you know, we did get design patents on the initial set of products. We did the wall mounted. And last year was kind of a big year for us because we finally, a lot of people were asking for locking and postal standards. So we did bring out a locking curbside and wall mounted that we're really proud of.
That
hands down, based on my competitive analysis and other products out there, is better than anyone else's from the way it's fabricated, put together, powder coated. It's it's just amazing. And then just all the vibrant colors. If you think about, and I don't, I'm taking over again, but
take over.
In 2014, there was nothing with any color in it in a mailbox at all. Let alone any modern looking mailboxes other than one in Australia. And since then, people have come into the market, but nobody's still doing the colors. And so we brought those colors into the locking creatively. Like, you can literally have a different color on the top of the locking curbside, the bottom, the handle, and then this flag that's hidden and pulls out.
It's so cool.
It is very cool. And so, it's not the 50s, 60s iconic, like a shell chair, but kind of
it goes right along with it.
The people that want something that looks sleek, cool, and just
it's so cool. So I've noticed that people try to match their door with the colors. So for those of you that have an orange door, or I have a gray door with a little bit of a tint in it, do you have people that will say, this is the color, can you match, you know, Pantone? Yeah. How do you do that?
Played in that a little bit. The powder is a difficult one to get to match what people currently have. So what most folks will end up doing is getting a color sample plate and going in the reverse and matching into us a fair amount. So we see that a lot. But it's just the process to get a unique color on a one mailbox and send it to a customer and get them educated on getting the power, how to get the powder and all, it was just too hard. It's kind of neat and it's sort of rewarding to do it, but it's like, I can't stay in business this way.
It's hard. Like,
if I wanted to just do it, that'd be fine. But this is a tough one, you know?
Yeah.
We've got 12 colors, make something work. And we've had creative people. I mean, you see the combos, it's kind of exciting sometimes.
Yeah.
The energy that people put into it.
Right. And it's all made in America. So you have... Yeah. How everyone is working on these in America, and everyone's now, I saw the plaques just have the color. So you could then put your own numbers on there, right?
That was actually a customer that said, you know, I love the color. Why don't you make a house plaque so that I can match for the color?
Yeah, that's so great.
Customers have the best ideas, you know?
Yeah. And speaking of customers, you've sold all over the US.
Yeah.
Do you have any, sorry, I just interrupted you.
We do some in Canada and people pull them through to Australia, but it gets expensive. So, but anyway, go ahead.
Right. With shipping. Yeah. Do you have any fun stories of customers or things like that where the customer led the product design? I know that's so amazing, but do you have any stories like that that you can share with us?
In general, our customers are somewhat fanatical. You know, you think about who's going to spend that kind of money. We were the first to put a mailbox out at this price point. And we sat there with my sister-in-laws and our family going, would somebody buy this? You know, and they're like, oh, I don't know. And now I look at that and mailboxes, people competing against me are even past where I'm at on the price point. So it's like, yes, they will.
Yes, they will.
And so our customers, you think about a customer willing to spend that much money when they could spend maybe 25 for a black, you know, aluminum mailbox, typical.
Right.
They're into it, right? And so we have the best customers with the best energy for the most part. And so what helps us so much as a company is them sending us in photos of their kind of color combos they put and what the beautiful things they do with their entryway and the pride they have. And for us to be associated with it, that keeps me going, you know,
because we
become a business and a grind. And all those customers bring me great joy every time I see one of those pictures and we're able to share it out with the community. But there's one person in particular that we started to form a relationship with literally just last year. His name is Rob Daniel. And he's interesting. He's with Mailbox Mayhem in Omaha, Nebraska. So this guy's going out there installing mailboxes. Nice. And he is, of course, a mid-century modern enthusiast, right? So he's totally grooving on our product.
Yeah.
And putting them out there, which is fun. But he aligned with Habitat for Humanity that was doing some kind of modern looking homes. And we've been selling, we're very particular. So what we consider to be a second in a mailbox might have just a few powder coating blemishes that most people wouldn't realize. But at that price point, you just aren't going to do that to them.
Yeah.
So we sold him, you know, at less than cost, a lot, 14 mailboxes to put into these Habitat for Humanity homes, which was pretty cool. So he installed them all unique posts and stuff. So just that's a neat person, you know.
That's amazing.
Person. So
I wonder if there's a way for people to donate to that somehow or work with.
I think he's already, you know, he's paid for them and installed it, you know, and, you know, at the price made it possible. So it's kind of neat to think that there's a Habitat for Humanity community, you know, with Mod Boxes.
That's kind of so fun.
Fit the style of their house. That's
amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I was looking on your blog and you have a lot of those photos. And I was looking at the one you reference other people who have done similar designs or other mid-century modern accessories. You have Rejuvenation on there. And I've always loved them because they do the doorknobs and they have the globe lights that are great. Yeah. You have Hip Haven on your website. And for those of you listening, you can go to modboxusa.com. Mm-hmm. Hip Haven does those planters that I love. Just Modern on there has other accessories. Your friend, who I love, Chris
was there. Yeah. And then Pelago actually bought him. You know, bought his business, but Chris was there with you. Like he was like, you need to make this happen, Greg. He reached out to me and like you did, said, when you get this done, we'll carry it.
Yes.
String. So a big shout out to Chris for being just a beautiful, wonderful person. And
yeah,
you know, that energy of other people that are, you know, part of the community. You know, as you said, it was neat.
That's so cool. You also had Urban Gas Fire, which I need to check out. Through you, I'm learning about Mod Fire.
Oh, that one. Yeah. There's people doing stuff. And some guys are doing some little birdhouses now with mid-century modern vibes.
Yes.
Switch plates. other address plaques that are pretty cool. So there's
love that.
Some neat stuff. Yeah.
And for those people that are listening that want to do this, what advice would you have for them? You have a finance background and you studied business and you've obviously done this. What would be like one or two things that you would definitely recommend to anyone wanting to start a business besides having an unbelievable passion for wanting to do it?
I think you do. You do have to have, that's absolutely underlying. And it's a good point because everybody's going to bring different skill sets. And I never thought I would be an HTML code putting a website up, you know?
Yes.
But if you want to get it done,
you got to do it yourself.
Figure it out and you do it. And And so, you know, yeah, I had the, and sometimes your strengths can become a weakness. Like you're too over-focused on the finance side or the business side and you lose sight of the marketing, some of the other pieces. We are pretty stellar, I believe, on our customer service, though, just from things and people I've been around. Working at Wachovia at the call center, they had this things like knock their socks off. So it actually kind of references back to my parents and their furniture and it implanted it stay. Now, why do I remember this bulletin board with dirty socks on it saying knock their socks off, you know, exceed their expectations? But that stayed with me. You know, and that's what we try to do. And if we're going to take a hit financially because we did right with the customer and knock their socks off, people are like, wow, I'm amazed.
Yes.
I think that's how you sustain a business over 9 years instead of collapsing.
Right. It's about the people.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you have such a support system around you from what you've done. I think it's incredibly inspiring. And it really gave me, when you were going through that, it's funny when you see other people really putting in everything they have into something, it lifts everyone else up. I was doing the Eichler plans and I started my company and you were a huge inspiration to me. Huge.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's good to see people doing things. And so, yeah, to your point, you know, I had certain skill sets, but it's a kind of, I want to see this happen attitude and willingness to learn. Even, you know, I was 50 when I started the company, you know, who starts a company at 50, right? You know, that's a bit crazy in itself.
Yeah. So,
and then Kickstarter was a glorious thing for, you know, to get the funding and proof of concept is my belief in Kickstarter is, you know, the people weren't just naturally there. I had to drive traffic to it. So you can't just throw something out and hope it succeeds. You got to drive the people to it. But it's also a way to say, is there an audience for this? If I do as much as I possibly can with all the bloggers that are relevant, anybody that can drive traffic to this product to back this Kickstarter, and if people are willing to risk their money and maybe not get the reward, which is the mailbox at the end of it, that speaks volumes to, hey, this is a viable business.
Yeah.
You know, if I do it right, you know, this can sustain and be something.
Yeah. Oh, so amazing. And so now you're doing something with Atomic Ranch. You are sponsoring, what was this?
Yeah.
It's called the Curb Appeal Contest. Can you share with us a little bit about this?
Yeah, it seems like a natural because, you know, mailbox is definitely part of the curb appeal.
Yes.
And they have
very, very important.
Yeah. And what is neat is a lot of people like, I would love to get an Atomic Ranch magazine, but their voting lasted and just ended on the 29th of, the entries were through the 27th of June, where people send in their pictures, but now they're going to put all those pictures up and let people vote for their favorite. And the winner will actually get into the magazine. Well, we need to get people to vote. So they're like, hey, Greg. So as a sponsor, the people that actually vote starting June 29th through July 17th on Atomic Ranch Magazine's website, they have the opportunity to win either a $450 or a $250 digital gift certificate.
Okay. So that's going towards their mod box. That's awesome. Well, I want to kind of chip in there if I could. So those of you listening, definitely go to that website, which is atomicranch.com and vote for Modbox in the contest. And then for those of you that, well, whoever wins, awesome. You can also have this 10% discount that I want to give people for buying their Modbox or their wall plaque. So you can go to Modbox USA and enter my discount code for 10% off at just type in MCM with Monique 10. And you can do that up until I have it up till July 21st, I think. That's great. So hurry up and do it before the 21st. And please vote for Greg. Greg, thank you so much for being on the show. Yeah. I cannot thank you enough. And so much love and success coming your way. It's my wish for you.
Well, thanks for being supportive and a part of the story from the beginning, really, and for helping to share where we're at now.
Thank you.
That's
very generous. Thank you so much. Yeah. I'll see you soon. Thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you at the next episode. Thanks, Greg.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. I hope you had as much fun learning about the world of mid-century modernism as I did. You can also catch the show on my YouTube channel, where we walk through some of the most stylish mid-century modern homes in California. Just search for Mid-Century Modernism with Monique and hit subscribe. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and leave me a comment to let me know what you think. Your feedback helps me make the show even better. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time on Mid-Century Modernism with Monique.